top of mind in this region. We've talked about it before, is that WIP Plus program. What progress are we seeing as far as the formula and getting things put together for WIP Plus?
So the WIP Plus, we continue to work through the applications that came in before the deadline in October. We're at about $1.2 billion in payments. We do have a quality loss assistance program that's coming as well. I'm not sure the exact timing. We still have to get through our interagency clearance and other pieces. So that's coming together, but it's taken longer than we wanted because we had some other programs like CFAP and others that needed to get out the door as well. So it's still coming. Hopefully it's 30 days or so before we get that out, but it's coming because we certainly have some folks that suffer some quality losses in 2018 and 2019.
As you mentioned, you've got a full plate with CFAP 2, you got ARC, PLC decision, CRP. You got a lot of stuff on the agenda right now.
We do. Certainly for the, if there's some dairy producers out there too, we have a deadline coming up for dairy margin coverage of December 11th, CFAP deadline December 11th, continue to get out. We're getting out about $500 or $600 million a week on CFAP right now. Starting to slow down a little. We're a little over $10 billion on our way to maybe $14 billion or so. So that seems on track. We do have a lot on the plate and certainly a lot considering, just like everybody, we're managing this through COVID time when not all our offices can be open. In fact, most of them aren't open, and folks are working online, on the phone, and we continue to get some dollars out the door to help folks.
Bill, how's this work as we move through a transition, likely into another administration? These programs obviously still continue.
They do. Many of these programs, you know, like ARC PLC and dairy margin coverage, those are farm bill programs. There's some differences in the way those can be put together back when rules were written, and that's why we put rules together and out for comment and get ideas about how they ought to be implemented. But once they're out there, then they really continue through the next farm bill. Congress may change them in 2023 at the next farm bill, but they continue. The career staff continues to get them out the door. Programs like a CFAP that was an ad hoc program that was stood up with a little bit of frame from Congress, but not a lot of frame, mostly put together by the folks here, both a mix of career and politicals. Those are more of a challenge to stand up if you need to, but hopefully we're at a place where we don't need to the same way going forward. We've got better prices, and if we can get to the other side of coronavirus, then unless 2021 shocks us again, we can just continue to operate with the Farm Bill programs and be able to operate out of the market rather than from government program to government program.
Bill, you mentioned the Farm Bill, and you take a look at the leadership on the House and Senate Ag Committees. You got a Pat Roberts that was in for 40 years, Colin Peterson for 30, Conway for 15. You got 85 years of experience working on farm programs and farm policy. What do you see as the landscape as we move forward with some of the changing faces there?
It is a big deal, Don. You're right. I think on many levels, what that experience does is they, I'm sure, have taken on a subject and learned a lot more about it, whether it's dairy policy or understanding payment limits or other kinds of things, and over time have learned things that causes them to be able to more quickly get to those policy decisions as we get to a farm bill. And then I would also argue they have built relationships, which they're able to engage in when somebody from the Northeast wants to talk dairy policy with somebody from California, and they're able to bring them together and say, okay, what matters the most to you? And bring those folks together. And somebody who's been around has seen how Congress worked and has maybe sat alongside those members for 10 or 20 years, I think are a lot more effective bringing folks together when, you know, you just have disagreements. You have disagreements because your producers look different or your markets are different. And without yet knowing who those leaders are, we know we're not going to have all that we had in the leaders that were there. The Colin Petersons of the world and the Conaways and Roberts, those folks had so much experience and then a lot of trust by their members. So if one of those folks stood up and said, hey, I heard you, I know that, but we've got to go in a different way to get to a conclusion, their members would trust that they really have the best intention for everybody when they say that. And any new leader is going to have to earn that. And may come with some of that. I'm not sure who's going to get selected for those, but none of them the same way those leaders had.
Bill, when you look at your USDA today, yourself included, we've got farmers, production, agriculture, at the table in your role, whether it's FSA, RMA, the list goes on. That's been unusual over the years. How important is it that you have farmers in those type of roles?
Well, I'm sure I'm biased in that, but I think it's a pretty important. We have some great career staff here that understand the programs. We get to work with Hill folks that understand the politics, and I think it's important to be able to have farmers that understand agriculture, and I may not understand all the things that are going on a peanut farm or a potato farm, but I certainly know that what we create has to work for busy people where they have risk of a storm coming through and wiping their crop out. And I think having folks with ag experience at the table can be very beneficial. Of course, USDA has run that without that in the past. As I look at some of those ag folks in the past, I think they've been an important contribution, and I hope that we've carried through as well as we could in our time. And I know that, you know, when future generations come here as well, they'll build on the things that that we all did. But I certainly think there's an advantage in having folks with firsthand ag experience in certainly some of these jobs at USDA.
As we know, nutrition is a huge part of USDA conservation programs, those kind of things that probably have more of a focus from the more metro lawmakers and even some of the names we're seeing bandied about already on, you know, maybe coming into USDA in the future, maybe come from a more urban perspective, metro perspective. Do you see that really kind of changing the USDA that we have seen today and in the past, Bill?
You know, it could. This is a huge place. 100,000 people work at USDA. And as a farmer, we think of the programs we touch. Maybe it's the ARC PLC program if you're corn and soybean or wheat farmer or cotton producer or something. It's research if you're a university professor. It's food stamps if you're working in the hunger side of the world and trying to help people there. It's meat inspection. It's Forest Service. There's a lot of pieces here. And so probably every secretary that comes and all the leadership that comes have holes. They don't understand all those pieces. They often lean on others that are here. So if they surround themselves with folks that are good in the areas that they're responsible for, then that really benefits a secretary because nobody can have all the experience. But I do think a big part of what USDA does is work with farmers. And certainly I've been very pleased to work with the Secretary of Purdue that thinks of farmers and can think like a farmer. I remember a conversation early on. We were bringing a press release on something and explaining something, and Secretary looked at it and he said, "Well, what's that tell a farmer? That's great government speak, but it doesn't tell a farmer what we're doing." And we, several of us, looked at it, and we should have known better. We said, "He's right." And we went back and rewrote it, and the program was the same, but we were a lot clearer about what the program was, because we had our secretary that corrected us after it went all the way through all of us. Our secretary thought like a farmer and had been out talking to farmers and wanted to make sure that we were clear in what we did, too. So I think as much as possible a good farmer experience by the secretary and as many people as possible are important, but you do surround yourself with a lot of other folks that can lead you into timber management decisions and all the other decisions that need to be here. It just is a bigger place than any one person.
Bill, during your tenure, you've seen everything from unbelievable crop disasters and weather problems, COVID, obviously, what's gone on in the entire trade situation. We're wrapping up 2020 with some stronger markets and some excitement, some optimism. We finished with, at least in our part of the world, with a harvest season where we got the job done without having to fight Mother Nature too badly. It's got to feel good to end at least that way.
Yeah, it sure does. Finally, some good surprises, right, Don? I mean, we've had a lot of challenges for our producers to get through, and it was important to the secretary and the president to be able to help through some of those challenges when we could, and find ways. And Congress obviously gave us some financial support to be able to help in the coronavirus response effort as well. So it was important to find ways to help, but. Boy, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to be able to talk to a farmer the other day and have him say, "You know, I sat down to kind of do a cash flow for next year and a profit and loss statement. And, you know, next year, other than the normal farm bill government programs out there, I don't need any ad hoc programs to actually make money in 2021. With the prices that are out there, normal yields, and I have crop insurance that can help me protect some of that. I'm going to do some things to protect me on the price side. I can actually be profitable in 2021. And I think there was a whole vision of the secretary. These ad hocs were to bridge. They were to get to better times. Now, I sure didn't expect us to see the kind of prices that we're seeing right now in some of our commodities. It's needed, and we need more than that to heal up some folks. But it sure is nice to be able to see some prices that can actually get us to the place where we can walk away from those ad hoc programs and not miss them because we're getting our prices again from the market.
Bill, you and I have known each other for a long, long time, and certainly I want to thank you for everything you've done with the Red River Farm Network and just this farm broadcasting industry as a whole. You've been so accessible to what we're looking for, and appreciate having this chance to connect here.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you. And certainly I know as a farmer and now in this role how important farm broadcasting is to getting the word out. We did a lot of crazy things last minute to be able to help folks, and the word got out. You in your part of the world, others in other parts of the world, in the industry certainly was a huge part in making that all happen. And that gives the opportunity for farmers to be successful. And certainly are great friends as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Don.